You're listening to episode 72 of the Mad Chatters podcast, February 10th, 2016.
Most everyone's mad here.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Mad Chatters podcast, your very important date with the happenings at Walt Disney World and around the Disney universe. Sorry, I got really distracted there because I think I always say podcast, like I say that really weird. Anyway, I'm your host, Derek, and joining me as always are my fellow hosts, Matthew.
Hey, howdy, hey.
And Jeremy.
I have chocolate in my mouth that I'm trying to finish.
I can tell. At least you're eating quietly, more quietly than you were a few minutes ago.
I muted my mic. You're welcome.
Yes. Matt, I'm going to send it over to you first because you went to Disney Springs recently, and I know a lot is happening over there. So what did it look like from your point of view?
Well, there's still a lot of walls up, but I don't think that people that haven't been to Disney World in a while really understand the magnitude of the changes that they are making, not only to the existing a marketplace and what used to be Pleasure Island, which is now an area called The Landing. That's kind of been the first phase, I think, that area and Pleasure Island there, starting with the boathouse and the hangar bar and all the new stuff that's going on there. That's kind of been the first phase last year to open. And then progressively, the parking garages are going up, orange and strawberry and all the fruits that they're naming those after. But this past month, I think you know, this was in the concept art, and we understood that the whole name Disney Springs meant that there was going to be this spring, quote-unquote, flowing through it. But I don't think anybody anticipated the length to which the Imagineers would go. So this past August, I got my first, had my first encounter with a natural Florida spring when our youth group here at the church went tubing down the Rainbow River, which is apparently a river that comes off of this natural spring. And it does have that really nice, I mean, it's crystal clear water. That's about all you can say about it. But Disney Springs, if you watch the video, that the Imagineers are doing all the detailed work to the underneath of the water to make it have that look. I mean, they've like shaded with all these different colors and put these little glass, colored glass pellets into there so that it has that natural crystal clear Florida spring look to it. So that's a lot of work just for, you know, what they could have done is just made a little trench and flowed some old nasty Florida water down through the middle of it, but they've done a lot of work to make it look natural. And the other thing, which I don't think has been made obvious to folks, is that that whole other area, I mean, it'll be like a whole new parallel pathway filled with shops and restaurants on the other side of that spring. So in addition to what we have already on that main strip of Marketplace and Pleasure Island and the west side, there's like a whole nother shopping mall almost place being built across the spring from it. And it's complete with all these wooden walkways and pretty places to sit overlooking the water. And which you can see a lot of this in the concept art, but it's going to be a nice place to go.
I believe that's the area that's going to be called Town Center, right?
Yeah.
This is like, yeah. It's going to be representative of like 1920s Florida, and the Edison restaurant will go there and things like that. Yeah. Very cool. It's really taking on that Disney Springs theme.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
It is nice considering, you know, downtown Disney was never terrible, but it lacked identity. It struggled to find an identity, especially once Pleasure Island was gone and the West Side never really took off as a place to be. And, you know, Universal City Walk is the competition to this as far as theme park, wine and dine and dance and shop places.
Yeah.
This is gonna beat all of that. And this is such a Disney way of doing that same idea.
Mm. What do you think of the background music? Have you noticed?
Yeah, I don't mind it in the West Side. I'm not a big fan of the new loop in the Marketplace. I kind of liked just the standard Disney classics playing in the Marketplace. And now it's that. I mean, it's Disney classic, like the melodies, but they're reimagined almost as if they played Walt Disney songs in some sort of spa, you know.
Oh, okay.
That's it's instrumental and it's really new agey sounding, and you can pick out the melodies every here and now, but I don't like it so much.
But it surely is better than Miley Cyrus singing Tale as Old as Time.
Well, you only got that every once in a while. Yeah. Otherwise, it'd just be like listening to Disney's greatest hits, you know?
Yeah. Okay.
Bare Necessities, Hakuna Matata, and things. And
I only asked because I knew that's something that you would pay attention to is the background music, so.
Yeah.
I want to mention that last week a special Blu-ray was released, and that is the Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs is now out of the vault again and released on Blu-ray under the what they're calling the Signature Collection, the Walt Disney Signature Collection. And so they do this every so often where they come up with these sort of titles or whatever, or they release them under a certain title. I never feel like they fully complete what they start. It always seems like it's like the gold edition, the diamond edition, the platinum edition, and they release like 10 titles and then that dies and all of a sudden they have a new edition. But I kind of like the Walt Disney Signature Collection. I like that title, so I hope it lasts a while. And anyways, I watched it yesterday. First off, never a bad day when you watch Snow White. It's always a good time, and I'm kind of the resident animation nerd on this podcast. So I just am always so stunned at how beautiful this film is when you just kind of look at it from an artist perspective, I guess you could say. But one thing I wanted to say is it has some good bonus features on the Blu-ray. Now, if you own previous editions of Snow White, as I do, they're not like breaking any new ground per se, because, you know, what really more can you add that hasn't already been put out there at least at one point? But they do have a really good making of documentary on there. It's, I guess it's about 20-30 minutes long, and it pulls a lot of the audio from the old animators who were around back then. Really kind of talks about that pivotal part of the company where they were deciding to make Snow White, and the bankers were nervous, and Walt was nervous, and Roy was nervous, and everybody thought it was going to be a flop, and then it, of course, it became a huge success. So I recommend, if you don't own a copy of Snow White, this is a good copy to get.
Do you understand this to mean that the Diamond Edition is now dead?
That's the way I took it, but I could be wrong.
For several months, Pinocchio was slated to get a Diamond release about the time that Snow White came out, and now there's no mention of Pinocchio, and so I would take that to mean that the Diamond Edition is no more, and this has launched a new collection.
Yeah, and again, I don't really understand all of that, because I feel like you would sell more copies of movies if you completed a collection instead of just randomly starting new ones.
Because completists like me can't start without going all the way.
Totally, but I could see Pinocchio being released under the Signature Collection.
I hope so. I was really looking forward to it.
Has it been released on Blu-ray since?
Yeah, it's back in the vault now, but you can find it on Amazon for like $140 or whatever.
Oh, is that all?
Yeah, like not by Amazon itself, but by third parties, you know?
Actually, now that you say that, I think I have it on Blu-ray. Mm. I have some films on Blu-ray and some on DVD, some only on DVD. You know how that goes.
You kind of
forget after a while which ones you have and which ones you don't. And then there was a time where they were releasing Blu-ray and DVD together, but they were in the DVD package. Like, I have The Rescuers like that, and it's like...
That's the worst.
Yeah, because I need the little short case so I know it's Blu-ray for
exactly.
sure.
You know? Yeah, I think my Dumbo is like that. My Dumbo came with Blu-ray and DVD, but it's in a tall DVD case.
I was so particular for a long time about sleeves and all of them being the same size, getting the Blu-ray, getting the actual pack because it was the same size as the DVDs. I just gave up on that a long time ago. And now I'm to the point where I'm only buying the digital copies.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a big step. For the Snow White thing, I just bought the digital.
Wow. No, I like seeing it on my shelf.
I like it on my shelf, and I'm one of these people that thinks like the world could end at any moment, like the internet could go down and be lost forever. And even if that happened, at least I would have my Blu-rays and DVDs.
To keep you company, yeah.
I don't know if there'd be electricity to play them on, but just having them near me makes me happy.
Well, good. Now, Matt gave us a little bit of an update on Disney Springs, but let's talk about a few other things going on at the parks. And the first was something that happened this week, kind of all of a sudden without notice. Circle of Life, what's it called? Circle of Life something,
environmental
something.
Fable,
yeah.
Timon and Pumbaa.
It's a movie.
It's the movie in the Land Pavilion at Epcot. Went down for refurbishment, and that's all that Disney is saying. Yes, that joke is in there. And apparently, I've still never seen this thing. But as the Disney community does, when anything old, anything older than 10 years, goes down for refurbishment, they have started speculating that that might be the end of Circle of Life. What do you guys think?
I hope it's the end of Circle of Life.
Well, here's my question. What really needs to be refurbed? Because...
I mean, it's a movie. Projectors need to be switched out or cleaned, or screens need to be cleaned and repaired from damage. I mean, think of Soarin'. Soarin's only 10 years old, and it has all those repairs.
Yeah, but Soarin,
I honestly can't see them spending a lot of money to refurb this attraction. But we've said that before, as you said.
Yeah. And Soarin, at least, like, the theater moves. Like, this is like a movie theater. Like, you go and sit down in a chair that is stationary. It doesn't move. I mean,
so you're
I don't
saying you buy into the rumors that this is it?
I really do think this is it. I think it's going away. I think they're going to come up with something else. Because it's so funny to me, like, Disney has these, like, random theaters that seat quite a few people, and they're just kind of off in the corners.
I haven't been in here in a long time. It's a pretty large theater, isn't it?
Very large. Like, you probably, I'm talking, meh, you probably could fit 250, 300 people in there.
Like, Honey, I Shrunk the Audience size?
Yeah, thereabout, yeah.
As I remember, this one's a little more stadium-like, isn't it?
It is. It definitely is stadium seating. And, you know, I'm thinking, like, they could even... It would be more profitable for them to, like, rent it out to, like, a, you know, a church on Sunday morning than, you know, how they do that, or, like, a conference thing, than probably keeping Environmental Fable. But I want... This is what I want from Disney. I want them to take all these old Epcot films that have been around and have come and gone and put them out on a Blu-ray release. Wouldn't that be great to have, like, Captain EO,
Magic Journeys,
everything from the Wonders of Life Pavilion, all these things that people love that are not long, Body Wars, and throw in Circle of Life in there as well and put it out on Blu-ray. Wouldn't that be wonderful to have it in your home collection?
I still can't take Magic Journeys. I have to stop it. It's too freaky.
Listen, I want to believe you're right that this is the end, but the last time something closed in Epcot, they just gave us Pixar shorts. So I can't imagine they have a grand idea to replace us with, and in 2 months it'll be open once again.
Well, that's a short-term thing, surely.
I don't know. Have you seen pictures of the signage?
Like, no.
It looks pretty permanent to me, but...
Epcot is slowly becoming the new Hollywood Studios.
A little
as far
bit.
As it's just like, that's past its prime. Oh, it's closing. It's better closed. Okay.
A little bit, yeah. But speaking of rumors, now this has been confirmed by photos at least, but not by Disney themselves. Someone visited Magic Kingdom today, took a picture of the Sleepy Hollow menu, and pointed out that none of the savory waffle sandwiches are there anymore. Like the spicy chicken waffle sandwich and the ham and prosciutto.
Unbelievable.
So right now, the only things the menu shows are waffle sundaes and then the fruit and Nutella waffle sandwich. So we will keep you fans posted on whether or not those are gone for good, but it could be much like the fried green tomato sandwich at Hungry Bear, where it just went away without a word of warning. That would be sad, because it's one of the few items in Magic Kingdom that's unique. You know?
Yeah, that is heartbreaking. Those were good. I've enjoyed.
Heartbreaking.
I've stated on this in the past that I enjoy those waffles, chicken things. So. Mm.
Anyway, and Matt never got to try it, so.
I did not.
Yep, but enough of the sad or happy rumors, depending on which side you stand on. Let's start this show, and we're going to kick it off with a special Valentine's Day edition of Love Letters to Disney.
Let's Marvin Gaye and get it on.
Love Letters to Disney.
Roses are red, circuses have clownies. I love you more than Animal Kingdom poop brownies.
Dear Potato Leek Soup at Be Our Guest Restaurant, winter is too cold, wind is too breezy, but no matter the weather, you are the perfect amount of cheesy.
You can Hakuna Matatas anytime you like.
Roses are red, basketballs are round, nothing turns me on more than seeing Stitch's great escape burn to the ground.
Dear gaucho hat-wearing penguins in It's a Small World, if there were a prize for cutest spinning animatronics, you most certainly would win it. I don't need the world to be big as long as you're in it.
My name isn't Sully, but you can still be my boo.
Roses are red, Tom Brady cheats. I'm beauty in public, but a beast in the sheets.
Oh my god. Who's Tom Brody? Just kidding.
To the theme of the song from Pocahontas, will you be mine, mine, mine?
Dear Mickey-shaped Rice Krispie Treats, if you'll be my Valentine, I will snap, crackle, and pop for you. I know our love is meant to be, because I taste better dipped in chocolate, too.
Oh, my.
Ooh.
Ooh. It's getting warm in here.
Yoda won for me.
Ah! Oh my gosh, that was so stupid.
Yeah, right?
But you know some third grader is sticking that in a box on Friday. Yoda won for me.
It's time for another Chatter Game! And now, here's your Mad Chatter host, Mad Chatter Jeremy!
Thank you. Thank you, Steve. Thank you. We're here live for another Mad Chatter Game, and oh, you can almost smell it and taste it in the air. Romance is all around as we are getting ready for the big Valentine's Day weekend, so remember to have your teenager spayed and neutered as the holiday rapidly approaches. Now we're going to start a game called Disney Love Quotes. So before we started recording tonight, you both took this quiz, and what the quiz is it's Disney Love Quotes. So I'm going to read the Disney Love Quote, and you guys tell me what film you think it is from. Ready?
Ready as I'll ever be. This was hard.
All right, number one. We're simply meant to be. Derek, what answer did you say?
Well, I'm wrong because the quote I was thinking of is, you and I were just meant to be.
Oh, that's what I did too.
Oh. So I said Frozen.
Okay, Matt, what did you say?
I thought the same thing until a later question came up. And the only time I can ever remember this on a Disney film is The Nightmare Before Christmas.
And The Nightmare Before Christmas is correct.
Oh, very good. Goodness. Say the quote again.
We're simply meant to be. It's at the very end when Jack and Sally are...
I watched this for the first time all the way through ever this past Christmas.
Did you enjoy it?
I did.
It's wonderful.
Wow.
We're simply meant to be. There you go.
I don't like the music.
Oh, that's a shame because it's like 90% weird music.
Yeah. Tim Burton.
All right, number two. You are my greatest adventure. You are my greatest adventure.
This one I got in the bag. Up.
And Matt said, and Up is incorrect. The correct answer is The Incredibles. The Incredibles. That's what Mr. Incredible says to Mrs. Incredible. Up is...
What? I'm going to have to do a formal protest.
I will tell you what
is it on Up?
Up is, hold on.
Jeremy, you're the reason I got that wrong, because remember when we were talking about the new love letter pins, and you said, oh, I bet there's one with Carl and Ellie that says, you're my greatest adventure.
There is an Up quote about adventure, but that's not it. Hold on.
Thanks for the adventure. Now go have a new one.
Booyah, I knew it wasn't right. There you go.
Okay, but there are Valentines everywhere that say, you're my greatest adventure. And what characters does it have on it? Carl and Ellie, not Mr. Incredible.
There's also quotes that say by Walt Disney that are totally wrong. Like,
okay, I'll give you that.
What's that quote that everybody always misquotes?
If you can dream it, you can do it.
There you go. Just because it's printed.
Hold on, hold on. Reviewing the closing where he's looking at the book currently.
I just saw it.
He just read it.
Oh, okay.
Number 3. Some people are worth melting for. Derek, you said?
Duh, Cinderella. I'm just kidding. It's Frozen. Frozen.
Matthew?
I also said Frozen.
And Frozen is correct. Each get a point. I had to throw you a bone there, you know.
Shut up.
Number 4. To face the future with another who means more than any other is to be loved. To face the future with another who means more than any other is to be loved.
What did you say, Matt?
I said Meet the Robinsons.
Meet the Robinsons? Derek?
I said Hercules.
Hercules?
I have no idea.
Both are incorrect. The correct answer is The Rescuers. The Rescuers.
Wow.
Who cares about The Rescuers?
Aw.
Is that part of the song that plays during the opening titles?
I'm not sure if you want to know the truth. I just know it's in it. All right, number 5. I want to do something for her. Well, there's the usual. Flowers, chocolates, promises you don't intend to keep.
Beauty and the Beast.
And Matthew says?
Ditto, Beauty and the Beast.
And the correct answer is Beauty and the Beast. Congratulations, a point for each of you.
Now, Jeremy, tell me who says this.
Well, the Beast says it, and then Cogsworth responds.
Okay. I was making sure you knew what you're talking about.
I always know what I'm talking about. Never,
except for the Rescuers question.
Except for the except when I'm censored on my own podcast, but whatever. Number 6. All at once, everything is different now that I see you.
Wait a second. I think I have this wrong. Oh, no, I don't. It's Tangled, because that's one of my favorite songs from a Disney movie.
And the correct answer is Tangled, yes.
For some reason, I was like, wait, no, but the song is I See the Light, but that's still a line from that song. Yeah, I love that song.
Yeah, it's a good one. Nice harmony.
Mm-hmm.
Number 7, Love is a Song That Never Ends. Love is a song that never ends.
Love is a song that never ends.
Oh my gosh.
Wait, is that really how it goes?
Yes, it is.
Oh. Lady and the Tramp.
Matthew.
Bambi.
Correct answer is Bambi.
I had no idea, obviously. But.
And then the last quote, arguably the best Disney quote when it comes to love.
Are you going to read it or are you going to cry all over it?
I love this quote. And that is, I'd rather die tomorrow than live 100 years without knowing you.
Oh. I don't know. So is that good. Winnie the Pooh?
It is not Winnie the Pooh. Was that your answer?
Yeah.
It is not. Matthew, what did you put?
My answer is Pocahontas.
And the correct answer is Pocahontas. Congratulations.
Now, do you know how I knew this?
Vomit. One of your favorite quotes is from freaking Pocahontas.
You are cut off from
this show.
The only reason I know that is because the ending credit song I actually like, which is If I Never Knew You.
Yeah,
that's song, a good, all the music's song. Good, but
by Boyz II Men.
No, that's the only good song.
No, not Boyz II
Men. No, come on.
No, that's song. That my
you already
mine
quoted
is
mine.
A good.
Just around the river bend.
I just used it. No, that's terrible.
Colors of the Wind. That's
everything
good.
Everything about that movie is so freaking awful.
I'll agree with almost all of that statement.
But at the very end, when she visits John Smith in the tent, and he says that line to her. That's powerful.
I've already checked out by that point. That's why I don't remember that line.
That's good. I'd rather die. Gentlemen, if you're looking to spice up the bedroom this weekend for Valentine's Day, just look at your woman and say, I'd rather die tomorrow than live 100 years without knowing you. And she'll be all over you like white on rice.
You're such a perv on this episode.
Well, you would have to be in a predicament in which you're about to die because you've met this person.
No, you're thinking too deep.
You're Philippians 4:13-ing this thing here. You got to put it in context.
Well, who was our winner? I mean, I know, but
Take it away, Steve.
Congratulations, Matthew! You have won another Mad Cheddar game! Join us next time, same Mad Cheddar podcast, same Mad Cheddar fun!
On this week's episode, we are going to go back to a series that we started months and months ago, but now it's finally time to get some closure on this thing, and that is animated films and their presence in the parks. And we have finally reached the 2010s, which I realize we are still in the middle of, but we can still talk about the movies that have already been released this decade. Now let's go ahead and start with the one that came out in 2010, and this was Tangled. And I want to see if you guys have any general thoughts about the movie before we get into where you can find it in Walt Disney World.
I mean, I remember when this film came out and a lot of people were going kind of goo-goo over it. And it got the love that it deserves because it's a really good film, arguably better than Frozen.
That's what I was going to say. I love this movie. I like it better than Frozen. And after the whole Princess and the Frog thing kind of flopped in 2009, I thought, well, that's the end. I mean, it really felt like they tried to come back into the animation world with Princess and the Frog. It wasn't well received, even though I loved it. And I thought, well, that's the end of like Disney animation as we knew it. And then Tangled was just a breath of fresh air, even though it was, you know, computer generated, and that made a lot of people angry. I've always held to the thing that Walt would have been the first one on top of innovation in animation, and he would have loved it. So.
Yeah, I love this film as well. I too agree that it was better than Frozen. I mean, I like Frozen, but you know. But I actually, I must not have been hanging around the same people as you, Jeremy, because I thought this film totally slipped under the radar when it came out. And I remember it got good reviews by critics, but I didn't see it till it came out on DVD. And I remember being at Redbox thinking, oh, I think I'll check that out. And then after I watched it, being like, why is no one talking about this movie? It's so good.
Yeah.
But now I feel like even more so, it's got the, like you said, the respect it deserves, the recognition it deserves, which is nice to see. So on that note, I want to talk about something first that I remember when it was being built. And these were the restrooms over in Fantasyland between Liberty Square and like It's a Small World. And I remember these took a long time to build, and it represents like her tower. And in a few other buildings, it's got the lanterns hung out. And I remember when it was being built, the speculation was, oh, that's more than bathrooms. I know they're just saying it's bathrooms, but it's going to be like some sort of attraction or like a meet and greet or something. And that no, it's bathrooms.
Nope. Bathrooms and a charging area.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Which apparently half the outlets don't work anymore anyway.
I can see that. This is a wonderful little place. I mean, once you get over the fact that it's just bathrooms, you know, you hear people going over there, oh, what is this now? And it's like, it's just bathrooms. And that can be a little disappointing.
Yeah.
But it is a much needed little walkway if mm-hmm. you go around down past Haunted Mansion instead of having to everybody cramming through that tunnel where Memento Mori now is under the Columbia Harbor House thing. Plus, all the little landscaping they did to detail this area is very nice, including the Rapunzel's Tower and the little waterfall mm-hmm. and the little bridge, and that has its own background loop for this little area. It's a wonderful little touch.
I agree. That used to be a nightmare where the crowds would just like be shoved into this tight space around Peter Pan because all the strollers were there and not a lot of room. So, like you said, much needed, and aesthetically looks great.
And it's just, before that, it was just sitting there as an empty Skyway station for 15 plus years. Or something like 10 plus years sitting there.
For me, this area is what makes Disney Disney, in that they can take a bathroom and make it so exquisitely themed and mm-hmm. so almost a must-see. Like, if you take a visitor to Magic Kingdom, like, you have to show them the tangled bathrooms, you know?
Go use the bathroom here. Like, you have to plan your mid-morning bathroom break there. Or even the bathrooms themselves, like, there's frying pans hanging on the wall and the wanted posters for Flynn and some of the other people in that little motley crew of his, all hanging up around the bathrooms. And very large, nice bathrooms. Nice, large changing tables for babies.
Ah, you would notice that. That's cool.
I would. And there's stroller parking over there, too. That's part of the size of it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, what else, as far as Tangled goes, do we see in the parks? I feel like I'm quizzing you. That wasn't supposed to be like that. Sorry.
Well, the thing that I don't see, that I kind of wish I did see, is the Snuggly Duckly, which is not there. Which, in the original plans for the Fantasyland expansion, was what was supposed to be what is now Gaston's Tavern. And I don't dislike Gaston's Tavern. I think it's a very nice touch. I love the fountain out front. I love that Gaston meets there. But I will say, I think as far as breaking up some of the franchises in New Fantasyland, it would have been nice to have some Tangled there.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have Enchanted Tales with Belle, Be Our Guest Restaurant, Gaston Tavern. So Beauty and the Beast kind of has the corner of the block, if you would.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, that would have been cool. But you can see the Snuggly Duckling, ruffians, in the Festival of Fantasy Parade, which is really cool that Tangled got its own float. Because like I said, I felt like when it came out, this slipped under the radar, but it's really all over the parks now.
It's one of those things, like in the 90s, you know, when we were hitting the big Disney renaissance in the early 90s with Aladdin and Beauty and the Beast and Lion King. They didn't waste a lot of time, if I'm remembering correctly, they didn't waste a lot of time incorporating the music from those movies and the parades and the fireworks and things like that. I felt like it took a really long time for Tangled, specifically, I See the Light and some of those other wonderful songs from it, to get any playtime.
Yeah.
Still, it's not part of Wishes. Of course, Wishes has been around since 2001. But, like, the biggest we see is in whatever they call the Castle Projection Show now. What's it called? Celebrate the Magic?
I think so.
What's the current name? There's I think there's still a Tangled segment with the lanterns being projected, and it plays, it's just a little snippet of I See the Light that plays as they're floating up the castle. And that's really all. It could stand to have more playtime elsewhere because it's a wonderful Disney love ballad on the same level as Whole New World and Beauty and the Beast, in my opinion.
Now, the song is not added, but like last year at some point, the bubble scene in Fantasmic, they added the lanterns to that. I don't, like, you know, those scenes go by so quick, there's no way you could play that whole song. But they did add a few, like, Tangled, there's Rapunzel, you know, that kind of thing. you missed her. That was it. But anyway, I love that she has her own float, and I think it's a really great float. Though that's so random, because I was just telling someone about this float this week, how her hair is braided, but it's still, like, wrapped around the whole float.
Yeah.
That, like, little things like that is genius. She's holding a frying pan in the parade, which is kind of funny, you know, waving with one hand and then slinging around that frying pan with the other. Yeah, waving with the frying pan.
That's so terrific. Cool. This is not the kind of movie that lends itself to a ride, unless it was a really well-done dark ride. That would be wonderful, obviously. But restrooms aren't bad. Some kind of really highly detailed character meet and greet over there probably would have made a lot of people happy. But now she's stuck in Princess Fairytale Hall, so...
But I just saw a picture this week of someone meeting Flynn Rider just out and about in Fantasyland. I think he was by himself, but apparently they do that from time to time. So that's nice.
Probably nobody knew who he was.
This film, though, to me, is perfect for a stage musical. Because especially the song with the, what'd you call them, ruffians or hooligans?
I got a dream, or I have a dream.
Yes, like that would be
I got
perfect.
A dream. Which one is it? I have a dream is MLK. I got a dream is Tangled.
I've got a dream.
So, you know, it would be nice maybe replace Beauty and the Beast over there. I'm just trying to replace a lot of Beauty and the Beast tonight.
Yeah, that's all right.
With Tangled. But put it over there at Hollywood Studios, a nice Tangled show. That
would
go over.
Yeah. And we know that it works because, A, there's one in Fantasy Fair over at Disneyland. They do kind of the, you know, like 1600s type audience participation shows. What are those called? Anyway, they do one of those that's Tangled.
Like kind a
of
judgment play.
No. Like a tongue-in-cheek kind of thing, where the audience yells back and there are narrators and stuff like that. And then in Mickey and the Magical Map, she runs out with Flynn and they sing that song as a duet while people like run through the audience with the lanterns and stuff. Oh, and they just opened the Tangled musical on the Disney Dream, or the Disney Magic, the cruise ship. And I just had some friends see that and they really liked it. They took their kids on the cruise.
Excuse me, if you want to talk about the cruise ships, you'll have to start another podcast.
Sorry, I'm just saying that they've tried it in other areas and it works. So why not bring it to Beauty and the Beast live on stage?
I agree.
So,
our next film came out in 2011, and it kind of slipped under the radar, even more so than Tangled did when it came out, and that is Winnie the Pooh. Now, I think this film, actually, if memory serves me right, and I think it does, came out the same day as a Harry Potter film of that year. So, obviously, going against a Harry Potter film, which... Was that Deathly Hallows Part 2 or Part 1 that came out?
I don't think it was that. This came out in, like, May, if I'm recalling. Maybe it was The Avengers or The Muppets.
No, it came out the same as Harry Potter.
I seem to remember it competing with Harry Potter.
Harry Potter was in July of 2011. That was Part 2.
Okay.
So maybe.
I'm going to tell you
right now. It was Part 2. You're right. Yep.
There we go. Same weekend. Yeah.
So, I mean, Winnie the Pooh didn't stand a chance. Bless its little heart.
But I think this film wasn't meant to... I think...
It was not.
This film was not meant to be a blockbuster. This was Disney paying homage to a property that is loved and adored and bringing some life to it.
That's exactly what I was going to say about it.
And so, if you've seen the film, which hopefully you have if you're a Disney fan, it is delightfully charming, adorably wonderful, and just a great way to spend... I don't even think it's an hour long, or maybe it's like 80 minutes.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
At most. So it is just such a sweet film.
It really is.
It's so good. Stay till after the credits.
Yes.
Yeah.
To me, it embodies everything that you want Winnie the Pooh to be. It just gives you the warm and cuddlies on the inside.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what Disney... It's like they were just doing it to do it. Like, we love Winnie the Pooh, we love animation, and we're just going to do this to show that we still care and we can still do this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Now, the only down part to this movie, and forgive me if you like her...
I knew you would hate that. I knew it.
Oh, Zooey Deschanel. Is that her name? Is that how you say it?
Something like
God
that.
God help. I cannot stand it. It sounds like she just woke up. That's like her character, though. Like, she just woke up... I was just kind of like, and I'm going to sing a song like this. Deep in the 100 acre.
Okay, first off, she sounds nothing like that, but anyways.
I thought she was here in the room. That was crazy.
Yeah, right? I can't stand it, and I can't stand anything she does during the film. But
I thought the music was fine.
I own the soundtrack, so I really like it.
Shocked.
It's that really kind of like minimalist hipster vibe, you know, coming out. I don't like that.
Yeah, but Winnie the Pooh kind of has a hipstery vibe to him as well.
Does he now?
A little bit.
I think so. He's not mainstream. He does his own thing.
He eats vegan honey.
Vegan honey? Totally. He doesn't wear shoes.
Can it be vegan if it's an animal byproduct? I don't think it can.
I don't know.
It's organic. He meant organic.
Right. Excuse me.
Vegan honey. That doesn't work.
Now, as far as the parks go, I don't think there's anything that we haven't already said with the 70s mini adventures of Winnie the Pooh, but I'm still glad this movie exists, and I'm glad we talked about it. But
they certainly didn't update anything because of this movie. So
No, indeed.
They didn't even put a new coat of paint on the honey pots.
Which we already determined were ugly.
Yeah.
Last week's show. So
you guys determined.
I'm always the one that's catching these little things that we bypass, and these were put out by two different studios, but let's just remark about how stupid and awful and terrible Romeo and Juliet in 2011, and then, can you guess the other one?
The Wild?
Mars Needs Moms.
Oh, yeah.
I'm gonna confess and say I've actually seen both of these. I only watched Romeo and Juliet because it had music of Elton John in it. and it was not
these were
worth.
Both by two different studios, so they're not technically on our list. I just wanted to remark about how god-awful they were.
Mars Needs Moms, that was based on kind of the same trend as Polar Express, where they did like the – it's like people but animated over them kind of a
Christmas
feel.
Carol, they did that too.
Yeah. Horrible. Absolutely terrible.
No.
It's horrible.
Well, what's not horrible was 2012's Wreck-It Ralph, another one I think great. Just really deserves to be in the Disney – vault, or not the vault. I don't know. Just I'm really glad it's a Disney film. It's what
it
I'm
needs
saying.
To be in the vault where nobody
we like it.
Put that thing away. Put that thing back where it came from. Myself, help me.
This movie, oh, help me. I dare say this. I thought I was thinking about this yesterday, knowing we were talking about this today. This film for me is in the top three most underrated Disney films of all time. And I've gushed about the other two films, and I'll gush about them until I die. The other two being, well, I should quiz you. What do you think the other two
are? Oh, man, I was hoping you'd say.
Oh, Lord, I don't know.
Emperor's New Groove.
No.
Pocahontas.
No.
Aristocat. Oh, you hate Aristocats.
Meet the Robinsons.
Oh, of course.
Oh, right.
The other one being The Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Both sometimes I don't listen. Sometimes I don't listen.
I know. But this film, Wreck-It Ralph, severely underrated. Even though I feel like a lot of people like it, it's just so underrated overall as far as the Disney universe goes.
This gets a lot of television playtime, especially around Christmas.
Yeah, and to me, this fits perfectly. This would fit perfectly in Hollywood Studios. It's some kind of an attraction.
Oh, yeah.
I would love to see a Wreck-It Ralph, maybe something like a dark ride or even some kind of a, I don't know what you could do, but something like that. Maybe in the style of like a Buzz Lightyear or Space Ranger Spin, where you're going through the different worlds, the video game worlds, and you're shooting things or whatever.
Well, you could be there at the station. That's a great place, like the little the game central station, and board some kind of that little vehicle they get on, but then you get hijacked by something. And it could change every time you wind up in this video game or that video game or what have you.
That would be great. That would be awesome. And just
you're either killing vampire mushrooms in the Mario world or like slicing people in half in the Mortal Kombat world.
Yeah. I've already gotten in trouble for talking about the Disney Cruise Line, but something that's on one of those ships that you could bring to a park is on the Disney Dream, and it's Vanellope Sweets and Treats. Have you seen this? Like, it's a giant candy store themed to Sugar Rush. Is that the name of that video game that Penelope's in? Yeah. Like, it's even got like little animatronic characters that pop up and these giant like gas station looking pumps with the candy in them, and like you could bring that to Disney Springs or something.
Totally.
Yep.
Yeah.
Totally. The only thing as far as in the parks goes that I know of is they added Wreck-It Ralph and Penelope to the Christmas parade this past year. I know they had been in it previously, and then they went away, and then they brought them back. So I'm glad they're back.
Yeah, that's all I know of as well.
They've also got their little short segment in Celebrate the Magic.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
And it's really cool how they did it, because it's just like the Fix-It Felix video game setup.
With the 8-bit.
And it's like, yeah, and it's just like it's projected onto the castle as if it's the building, and Wreck-It Ralph's on top pummeling the top, and Fix-It Felix is doing all that. Then it just ends. It says game over. It's really a fun little nod to it without being in your face about it.
And a fun thing about that, the music in that film, first off, there was in the 70s, there was a song that made it big called like Pac-Man or Mr. Pac-Man or something. And it was based on the video game Pac-Man. And it was a one-hit wonder for this group. I don't even remember their name. But they're the ones that wrote the Wreck-It Ralph song that you hear, the Wreck-It Ralph as fast as you can.
I think that we've had this exact same conversation before on this podcast, like episode one or two. I don't know what we were talking about, but I talked about the projection and Fix-It Felix, and then you said that exact same thing.
Maybe
to our listener who finds it and lets us know what it is and where it is, you'll win a door prize.
Maybe we're just copying and pasting old episodes together, and that's what you get now.
How would you know?
But the greatest contribution to the Disney parks that this film has brought is the theme from Paint the Night. Mm-hmm. I was just listening to this again over the weekend as well. I was on my way to work on Sunday morning, and I was just kind of feeling blue for Disney. And I listened to Paint the Night. When can we do this again? And that just makes my heart just long for Disney so bad. Mm-hmm. So love it.
And I think it's cool that Owl City like went back and did like a remix of the song specifically for that parade, but kept, you know, the base of the core of the song. Mm-hmm. So, yep, great film. Would love to see it more at the park, but I'm glad it's at least represented a little bit.
Next in our list is from 2013, and it's a little film called Frozen.
I've never heard of this film.
Well, I say it that way because that's how it occurred. I mean, really, it did not come into the box office smashing records and gaining a wide following. In fact, I remember it coming out and being a little skeptical about it myself, having read some things. And as people started to see it, I just started to see little tweets and Facebook posts here and there about, hey, take your kids to see Frozen. It's really cute. I was like, oh, okay, Disney, at least that wasn't terrible. People are seeing it and stuff. And then like January, literally 2 months later, for some reason, it just erupted. And so to talk about where this is at Walt Disney World, I think the better question is, where isn't it at Walt Disney World?
You know, it's funny. It's really died down. Like, I feel like it has. Compared to a year ago when every episode on this show we talked about in the news, Frozen,
Frozen. I mean, it took over the castle state, the lighting for Christmas. They were made part of the Christmas parade, like getting rid of Scrooge McDuck and others. This whole last year's Christmas parade was themed after Frozen, or was that the year before?
No, this year. And the last two summers, we haven't heard about this summer yet, but it's completely overtaken Hollywood Studios with Frozen Summer Fun.
Yes, the sing-along is still there at Hollywood Studios and the old American Idol experience place. Not to mention the ginormous expansion going on as we speak at Epcot next to Norway, or part of Norway, I guess, which is going to be the Frozen Ever After dark ride and big old meet and greet for Anna and Elsa. And I know you're right. The wait times for meeting Anna and Elsa certainly today wouldn't be 3 hours like they were then, but the remnants of the Frozen fever are still there, and I think when the sequel comes out, it will just bring all that back.
Maybe so, yeah. I mean, you don't have to walk into a store on Disney property very long before you're engulfed by Anna and Elsa merchandise and Olaf.
Yeah, Olaf's everywhere.
Now, you meet... In the summer, you could meet Olaf. Can you meet Olaf right now? Like, if you wanted to meet Olaf somewhere in the parks...
I don't know, because I've never wanted to.
Because in Disney California Adventure, he has a permanent spot. But
if I met him, I would kick him right in his snowballs.
I don't think he does. But I could be wrong.
This is the one that had the weird hands, right? Or was the meeting one with the actual sticks?
No, he's got his arms in the sleeves.
Oh, that's weird.
I don't think it's that weird, to be honest. I think it actually looks pretty good, but... Oh, well.
It looks like his arms are all burnt up.
Why?
Because they're all, like, brown and distorted looking.
I thought the problem was that they're too thick, because sticks are just like twigs.
Oh, I don't care about that. Proportionally, I think it made sense the way he was big anyway.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I think it looks like a... I think it's a good costume, but...
Anyway, Frozen is everywhere. Maybe not at Animal Kingdom. They might find a way to work it into the Rivers of Light.
There is a reindeer, so don't pass him.
Vin. Is that his name?
Yeah. Yeah. See, I think it really has died down. I mean, you can obviously still find him in most of the parks, but like I said, you know, a year ago this time, all we could talk about was Frozen, and I really, like at Hollywood Studios, you really don't see a whole lot of them. Now in June, they might overtake it again, but I really think there's a good level of Frozen representation in the parks right now. And I say that before a giant land in World Showcase is about to open.
I agree as far as level goes. I don't agree in terms of how it's represented. I think the Frozen sing-along thing, while it may be popular, is a weird attraction. And y'all have done it. I have not. Y'all did it out in California Adventure, right?
Yeah.
I didn't. I don't like the idea of it, especially at Hollywood Studios.
Yeah, it takes up a lot of room. And it, for me, it's a do one time and then that's enough kind of an attraction.
Yeah, I forced us to do it a second time, and the second time was way less enjoyable than the first time. So
not a lot of repeatability. But it's funny, over in Disneyland, you know, I know we talked about this when they first opened up Frozen Summer Fun, and Disneyland kind of, like, Disneyland regulars were like, ooh, they got bad over at Florida because they got a ton of Frozen stuff. And then they kind of got later. And now part of me wonders if they have more than we do, because we saw all three of the new nighttime shows, and Let It Go, I think, is in all three of them. Frozen has its own float in Paint the Night, which is a great float, mind you, but it's just everywhere. And they play Let It Go almost in its entirety in World of Color. They're opening the new stage show where Aladdin used to be. The sing-along is still there. So I'm wondering if they're starting to overtake Disney World in the Frozen arena.
Yeah. Disney World, they've gotten to this. I think Frozen Pirates might have been the first time I remember that something just completely took over. And it was like, it not to the same extent as Frozen, but with Pirates, when Disney found out people like it, because it was kind of the same thing. It hit theaters, and everybody's kind of like, oh, okay, that's nice. And then it just exploded. And then you have, you know, it's being the pirate and princess parties, and they had their own fireworks show, and then it's worked into the projection show, and then it's overtaking a classic Disney attraction. Mm-hmm. It's the first time that Disney did that, and I hope that they kind of tone down the way they go crazy because something is making money in the future, because they kind of do lose their minds a little too late sometimes for it to even be impactful.
Well, as much as Frozen exploded at Walt Disney World, this next film we're going to talk about did not. And that's Big Hero 6 in 2014.
Do you think these films just don't catch on in the parks because they can't sell merchandise?
It's the princess thing. Yeah, princesses sell merchandise. Big Hero 6, Wreck-It Ralph, don't.
Yeah, I still feel like they could. They just don't market it in the right way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it was so hard to get an Elsa dress, you know, like they were on back order forever. If you sold, maybe not, maybe just boys aren't into that. But like if you sold Hero's like helmet and then his glove things as like a full ensemble, never mind. Girls are just more into the dress up than boys are.
And the word ensemble.
I don't know. They have weapons. So.
And the word ensemble. That is just a delightful ensemble you are wearing today.
If they marketed it like, that's why you can't work for Disney marketing.
Exactly.
Big Hero 6, Hero Ensemble.
Or a Baymax ensemble. Like, here's just a white suit and blow some air in it.
Yeah.
Well, they have those, like, those morph suits. Isn't that what they're called or whatever?
Like the tight onesie things?
Yeah, but then they have them that have the fan that, like, it blows up big. So you could make a Baymax.
It's not practical.
I haven't seen this movie.
Oh, and an Elsa is? An Elsa costume is?
Well, yeah. Now, you still can meet, let's be fair, you still can meet Baymax. This is something that people on Twitter have talked about a lot over the last couple months, because you could meet them at Epcot, you could meet them at Hollywood Studios when the movie first came out. You know, over when Magic of Disney Animation was open, they always put new characters there for you to meet. So they were there, and then they removed them. And a lot of people said, well, that was the only representation they had in the parks. Why are you removing them? And in December, in kind of response to that, this past December, Disney brought Baymax back, and now you can meet him at Epcot. But Hero is now gone. Now, I think we kind of joked on this show that Hero was basically just like a young Asian man with a wig that easily could have just been mistaken for a park guest, but he was Hero. But now you can only meet Baymax. And Mark Willard, who was on the show talking about his photography, tweeted this. I wanted to read it. He said, "The new Baymax meet and greet is better than no Baymax meet and greet, but without Hero, the entire experience is really diminished and honestly kind of lame. Baymax might be the cute character that everyone wants to meet, but Hero's absence severely limits the guest's ability to interact with Baymax." Because Baymax can't talk. Like he can barely move.
So what do
they
do with the, I mean, I understand that. What do they expect, though? I mean, every other Disney character just kind of stands there and looks at him, too.
But, like, he can't even shake your hand or touch you.
Baymax talks.
Yeah, ish.
But the character doesn't.
He can do the boo-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da, or whatever that is.
Yeah, I don't know. Disney World character can, though.
Yeah. I don't know. I like, figured that kind of voice would be simple enough to duplicate.
All it takes is one kid with a thumbtack to do the the fist bump thing and bye-bye Baymax.
Did you know that's voiced by the guy from 30 Rock?
Yeah. Scott adds it, I think. Yeah,
I met him. Let's see. Big Hero 6 came out like in November. I met him, or I was in at a convention, and he was at it in July. And I was like, do I want my picture with this guy? Nah, I don't really. I mean, I'm not a big 30 Rock fan. And then like a couple months later, I was like, he's the voice of Baymax. I could have had my picture with the voice of Baymax. But at the time, he was just the bald guy from 30 Rock.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm still glad you can meet him at the parks. That's a cool picture to get. Anything you'd like to see come to the parks for this film?
Well, Matt's mentioned that this show kind of has been reflective of previous things stated, and I've stated this before. I still think that a San Francisco or whatever it's called attraction in Epcot, Dark Ride, would be cool in the Tokyo Pavilion based on Big Hero 6.
The Japan Pavilion?
What'd I say?
Tokyo.
I meant Japan. That would be fun, you know, something like that.
I think isn't that the attraction? We went through World Showcase and thought about putting attractions in each.
Yes.
And wasn't that mine or yours or somebody?
It was both of ours. We both had that idea.
I was thinking like a Spider-Man 3D type.
Yeah. And then each, you know, the Big Hero 6 guys can lead you on the journey. Yeah.
That would be cool. But alas, you cannot do that.
And little known thing, except to nerd people. Is that this was a Marvel property, right? That
yes,
kind of inspired this to become a Disney once they bought Marvel. It's kind of a little known.
That's
comic,
right? That's right. Yeah, I'd forgotten that. Yeah. Pretty cool.
That's interesting that Disney took that and morphed it into a Disney animated film.
Yeah,
I like that.
Yeah, I'm surprised they haven't tried to do some kind of crossover with other Marvel properties.
Hmm.
And Big Hero 6.
Yeah. Now that wraps up. The movies that have come out. 2015 didn't have any movies come out. Pixar had two, but not Disney. In just a few weeks, Zootopia will come out to theaters. And they're already doing a few things, you know, like they've got the preview in the One Man's Dream Theater, like they always do. I think I saw this week that Monorail Orange came out with a wrap with some of the characters on the outside. But only time will tell what representation Zootopia will have in the parks. Now, this concludes the series that, like I said, we started maybe in the summer. I'm not totally sure. But I do want to get your overall thoughts on movies and their place in Disney World. And if it's okay, I found this article that came out sometime last year on micechat.com. And he talks a little bit about putting franchises, intellectual properties, things like that in the parks. And how, obviously, financially, there's a reason for doing it, but he wonders, this author, Tim Grassi, wonders if it's a little, quote, lazy. So I just want to read some of these things and see if we can kind of wrap up this series by talking about the place of Disney movies in Walt Disney World. He says, a ride based on a popular intellectual property is an easier sell to accountants because it's easier to market and the adjacent gift shop can be used to supplement the cost. He quoted Bob Iger as saying, as we spend money at the parks on new attractions that are based on known intellectual properties and brands, the likelihood of their success is greater. So when we increase Toy Story's presence or other Pixar presence, when we put Frozen in the parks, when we grow Star Wars presence, which we will do significantly, when we do it with princesses, for instance, you're going to see, I think, basically better bets being made that pay off. That are more likely to pay off for us than some of the bets that were made in the past. A little further on down, he said, regardless if an attraction is based on an intellectual property or not, quality should always win. This is the author of the article. The best intellectual property-based attractions can exist beyond that intellectual property. Splash Mountain, for instance, is among the best attractions in the world, but Disney has buried the source material so far into the Disney vault that the only known copy is in the Laserdisc collection of the grandfather from Carousel of Progress. I welcome intellectual property-based attractions, but the Disney parks need both. Frozen doesn't fix Epcot any more than Finding Nemo did. Intellectual properties have a place where they're appropriate, and that place isn't World Showcase or Future World. This must have come out just as the Frozen announcement was made. He finishes up by saying, the approach of thrusting a franchise where it doesn't belong is lazy and short-sighted. It preys on familiarity over quality, and it's a problem that extends beyond the theme parks. When he was talking about Finding Nemo being put into Epcot, like, I mean, it made me think of so many other attractions besides Frozen that have taken place of taken the place of original attractions, like when Timekeeper became Monsters, Inc. Laugh Floor, or when Alien Encounter became Stitch's Great Escape. Just so many examples of that happening.
Those are good examples of when it is a failure. But there are good examples of when it succeeds. Like, I'm thinking Grand Fiesta Tour. Like, I think that's a successful integration of maintaining the integrity of the pavilion, the integrity of the original attraction, and then putting in familiar Disney characters that don't feel forced.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nemo feels forced.
A little bit. Now, I never rode Living Seas, but apparently that ride did need something to liven it up a bit.
I never rode it either, but I've seen the YouTube videos. And when you take out everything that is Living Seas and just put in the story of Nemo, that's not a good integration. Now, had you maintained some of the educational and original concepts of Living Seas and just added Nemo in seamlessly, I couldn't think of the word to say there, then that's a good thing.
Yeah, something that featured Mr. Ray and, you know, maybe some of the characters, but yeah, just a complete overhaul with the dark ride through. It's really not even the Nemo story. It's like he's lost again, right? But then it's the same story because there's the jellyfish and the anglerfish, and it's like this is like round two of the exact same thing.
It's like, can't you keep your dang kid locked up?
Done poorly. And it's done poorly. It's not a good attraction. It's just
the only thing worthy of saving that attraction is the final scene when they put the computer projections into the actual tanks.
Yes, and they could have made the entire ride, which is the exact same ride as I think the exact same track as the old Seabase Alpha ride was, but the whole ride back then was simply a ride through that aquarium. And I think if they would have done that, and then, you know, like I said, seamlessly worked Mr. Ray, or, you know, he's the educational one, just like swimming through the individual tanks saying this is this or this is that, then that would have worked. But I see the good and bad of incorporating the IPs into the park.
Yeah, well, the reason I brought it up is ever since we started this series back with Snow White, we'll get to a movie every once in a while where we say, oh, I think they should add a dark ride for this or whatever. And I do think the trend over the last 10 years has been to do that. Like, oh, we're closing an attraction. Instead of adding something original, let's put an intellectual property in there. It's going to sell merchandise. It's going to bring people in. But I'm trying to sit back and think, is that what I want? Like, for everything eventually to be replaced with Nemo and Woody and Buzz Lightyear and all that kind of thing. I don't know.
No, I mean, you and I and Matt are different in that we are Uber fans. Your average day-to-day guest, though, yes, they want that.
Yeah.
They want to see the properties Disney when they go to Walt Disney World.
They want to see Pocahontas's Race Mountain in Tomorrowland. Yeah.
No, I'm just going to tell you, I'm thinking about, like, my sister. She has a child now, so I have a nephew, and he's 7 months old. They are Disney fans in the sense that they grew up with the films. They watch the films. They're my sister, and Declan will when he gets older. When he is 5, 6, 7 years old, he will go to Walt Disney World for the first time, I'm sure. He's going to not care anything about Figment, but he is going to care about Woody and Buzz and all that kind
of thing. But if you buy him a Figment.
Yeah.
Play that music for him at home, this is something that has to be learned.
See, this is why we need an It's a Small World movie, so kids better appreciate that.
That's exactly what Disney did with Pirates, you know? It was an original thing, and then they made it a property, and then went back and made the original thing part of that property, so now people don't know the difference.
That's true.
Yeah, D23... parenting is what we need around here. So
yeah, D23, D6, and D23. You got it.
Well, as we close up, did you guys have any overall thoughts about the films we've talked about? Whether Disney has just the perfect balance of original versus movies?
I think some more original would be nice, because when you look back, particularly at Epcot, they had a lot of original characters there, or not a lot, but they had original characters there. But I think you can't just let the characters stay in the park. I think you have to let them start in the park and then expand out. Like, I'm thinking of the Figment comics now. And even if Figment showed up randomly, like, on the Disney Channel, where kids recognize that face, at least, you know. And then when they go to the parks and they see Figment, they're like, hey, I know him, you know. Let his base be parks, but let him expand into other media. I think that would go a long way if you're going to introduce original characters to the parks.
I think Animal Kingdom is doing it. I mean, I realize Avatar is coming soon, but besides that, they're really doing a great job of adding just brand new original out of nowhere ideas that work so well for that park. And so I'd like to see Disney keep doing a mix of those types of things.
Definitely. And they're still bringing in the IPs, though, that kind of fill the gaps. Like, I'm thinking of, you can do the wilderness thing with Up and...
Yeah. They just added the Lion King guard search. You know,
but those are not... Those are not taking over main attractions. It's not going to be Kilimanjaro Safaris is now the Lion Guard Safaris or anything like that, you know.
Oh, so. God help us.
Yeah. Well, cool. Well, that was a fun series. Maybe one day we'll go back and do the Pixar films. But lots to be seen in the parks as far as Disney movies go. And I think that's what people want. So very cool. By the way, that article was from May 2015, and it was called Addicted to the Easy Money by Tim Grassi. All right, well, that does it for another episode of the podcast. Thanks for tuning in, all of you. You can always find us online on Twitter at Mad Chatters. You can find us on Facebook. We appreciate those reviews on iTunes. So if you have not left one, we'd really appreciate it if you did. Until next week, I'm out.
Take a little time to find the magic in every day.
Bye-bye now.